You're listening to The Stressless Life with Dr. Yip, a podcast about conquering your fears and overcoming anxiety. The question for today is, technology, friend or foe to the modern parent? I am your host, Dr. Noah Larracy. Let's say hello to Dr. Yip.
Hello, Noah.
Dr. Yip is a licensed psychologist who's board certified in behavioral and cognitive therapy and expert in the treatment of anxiety and OCD. So today we're going to talk about technology and parenting, and this topic was inspired by an episode of the TV show Black Mirror, which I asked you to watch.
Yes, you did.
So
I was horrified.
First of all, we are going to spoil this episode of Black Mirror. It's called Archangel, so if you haven't seen it, you may want to stop the podcast, go watch it, and then come back. But let's talk about it a little bit, what happens first. Quick summary is that in this episode, there's a single mother who has one daughter. I think she's around 3 years old when one day the daughter goes missing for a few seconds. And there's a moment that every parent fears where you kind of look around and you go, oh my God, where's my kid? So they do find they find her a few moments later. And then the mom, she sort of is very, very scared by this episode. So she essentially goes, and this takes place in the future. She gets what's called a neural implant into her daughter, which would enable her,
like a chip device for pets.
That's right. It's called the Archangel. And it basically allows her to monitor her daughter's movements, but also to see from her daughter's perspective what her daughter is seeing. And then when her daughter is seeing something that could be potentially harmful or traumatizing to her, enables her to then gray out or blur what she sees so that her daughter doesn't have to then witness anything unpleasant, right? Mm. So in the beginning, you know, for instance, the daughter's walking by a barking dog and we see it from the daughter's point of view and the dog gets blurred out, right? So really this starts out okay, but it's basically the mom starts using this device for reasons other than simply monitoring her daughter, right? So it becomes more about just seeing where she is. The mom actually then starts to actively interfere, I think, with her daughter's life. You know, if she sees her daughter with a boyfriend she doesn't like, she sort of goes and talks to the boyfriend.
Well, for good reason. Her daughter was using drugs with this boyfriend.
Okay, well,
right. I'm just speaking from a mother's point of view. If I have a daughter and she's using drugs with a boyfriend and I know that, I would be interfering too.
Okay, so basically the episode, though, it presents this technology as a way you can kind of monitor anything your child does. It sort of takes helicopter parenting to the nth degree, right? And in the end, it definitely backfires when the daughter sort of finds out what has been going on. She rebels. She ends up sort of smashing her mother's head with the actual device. And the episode ends with her getting into the backseat of a truck as it goes by, which is every parent's worst nightmare, right? Mm-hmm. So the reason I wanted to talk about this was first of all, we got Dr. Yip to actually watch a TV show,
which is an accomplishment
itself. But what was your reaction to watching this episode? Because I think it resonates so much with the things that we deal with here at Renewed Freedom Center.
I was speechless about the episode, as I feel speechless right this moment, because come on, how many parts of what we saw in that episode was completely wrong and completely possible at the same time? Is it in the future that we're going to start putting chips into everyone and be able to monitor their every movement and their every engagement and even see what they're seeing? That's a real possibility. The question is, how many parents would actually condone this? And I would say that a lot of parents probably would think that's a great idea if they hadn't seen the end of the show. I think every parent who has gone through that experience of dropping their kids off somewhere and wondering if their kids are going to be safe, wish they had such a device that they could attach to their children to make sure that they're safe. Even if I'm thinking about the existence of current technology and these technology harps on the fears of parents, yet it provides this false sense of safety For example, there are these monitors for infants to detect whether they're breathing or not. Now, the idea is that if you can detect whether the infant is breathing or not, it's a protection against SIDS. Yet, there's always a disclaimer at the bottom of these devices saying that it doesn't prevent SIDS. And parents, because of their fear and their desperation of the possibility of harm befalling their children, they become prisoners to these devices. So the question I think is, are these devices really bringing safety and bringing protection? Or is it giving parents a false sense of security, which then prevents and hinders their ability to actually prepare and be ready for a true threat?
Most of the kids that come in here above the age of 9 or 10 have a cell phone, right? And the explanation is always that the kid needs the cell phone just in case of emergencies for texting, or also the parents will say that my kid needs it so they know I'm going to pick them up. What's your sort of take on cell phones and what age is appropriate for a kid to have one?
First of all, I grew up in a period where there were no cell phones. If you were waiting for your parent to pick you up, you'd simply determine where you were going to wait, and you wait. And if your parent didn't show up, then you would go in back into the school to the principal's office and make a phone call. Or you would locate a payphone and make a phone call. Now, are there payphones around today as there are in the old days? No, there are no payphones. However, you can always pop into a store and ask someone if they could make a call for you. So if we were to take the idea of how each of us grew up and compare that to how kids today are growing up, is it absolutely true that kids need cell phones for their safety? And the answer is probably not. Now, of course, if you say, well, if my child is carrying a cell phone, I can turn the GPS on and I can locate them. Okay, I can make an argument for that. However, then the question is, what kind of cell phone are you going to get your child? Are you going to get your child the newest iPhone? Is that absolutely necessary for this child? And the answer to that is probably no. Why would this child need the newest iPhone? And if the child has access to this newest iPhone with all of the available technologies that exist in today's phones, is this doing more harm or good for the child's well-being? And my answer to that is it's probably doing more harm.
Let's talk about how it harms the child, because people may not realize, but sometimes when we have kids that come in here with separation anxiety or all sorts of other anxiety disorders, the cell phone becomes a way that they feel safe and connected to their parents. In a lot of ways, it can play a role in maintaining an anxiety disorder.
Oh, absolutely, especially if you have a child with separation anxiety or if you have a parent with separation anxiety. That exists as well. And it gives a false sense of safety and security, except it doesn't prepare the child or parent for what to do if, let's say, all cell phones went down. Or if we actually had, you know, that big earthquake and all of the cell towers went down. Or if I can even think, I remember back in 9/11, nobody could make a cell phone call. Nobody could even make a telephone call because all of the lines were jammed. What do you do at that point? Is your child prepared for such an incident when it happens again? Because if it happened once, it can always happen again. And would you or your child be prepared? Do you have a disaster prevention plan that you've set up for your family? Or are you only relying on that cell phone?
So you're saying the kids, they have the cell phone, and as a result, they haven't really learned how to north and south are, and they don't know how to get somewhere because they only know how to use the phone, which does it for them.
Yes. You know, again, this leads to what we call digital dementia. We rely so heavily on our cell phones to guide us, to tell us what to do, that we don't need to think for ourselves anymore. It's almost like we don't even need to have street smarts because we've got Google. Google, where is this? Google, what is that? Siri, tell me about this. And you have all the answers at your fingertips. However, what if Google stops working? What if Siri stops responding? What if your GPS doesn't give you directions anymore? Will you know how to get from point A to point B? Would you know how to read a map if that was all you had to get from point A to point B? Would you know how to follow written directions without having Siri tell you when to make a left or when to make a right?
I can hear parents objecting to this because I've heard them a lot in my office. Oh, this is never going to work. No way. Am I just going to let my kid walk the streets of Santa Monica by himself without a cell phone? Anything could happen. Besides, he's got all his schoolwork he does on his computer or his iPad. He has assignments on there. There's no way he can not go out the phone.
Why not? None of those excuses are valid for having a cell phone in your pockets 24/7.
So what would you suggest a parent do? They limit the use or have it only specific times, or would you suggest maybe having a period off?
Well, first of all, I think to have a cell phone, the child has to be mature enough to utilize it. You know, it's the same thing as screen time, you know, and when I say screen time, I mean like iPad or TV time, right? You have to limit the content and the time that the child is on these devices to whatever is appropriate for this child's maturity. So you're not going to just let the child watch whatever he or she wants, unlimited amounts of TV when he has homework to do or when she has to practice for a speech she's giving, right? You're going to watch the content with the child and explain the content, process the information that the child is viewing so that your child understands what is real and what is fiction.
So in the spirit of Black Mirror, would you suggest that parents, for instance, monitor their kids' Facebook or Instagram activity? Would you have them be friends with their kids on social media? How would you navigate that?
That's a tough question. And there is different ways to look at it. I think, first of all, it depends again on who your child is. Is your child someone who is mature? And then I have to ask, why in the world would your child need a Facebook account? Why in the world would your child need an Instagram account? Because the reality is there are so many opportunities for hell to break loose in social media, whether it's cyberbullying or the pedophile who is lurking children in. And the internet is not a safe place when it's unmonitored by adult supervision or when the child just doesn't have the maturity or the know-abouts of how to respond. So first of all, I wouldn't let any child have a social media account until they are mature enough. Now, that maturity can occur at 12. That maturity may not occur till 16. It depends on the child. And you as the parent would have the best judgment of what that time period is. For one thing, with all of the sexting that occurs today, with all of the vulnerability that exists with social media and how it affects your child's emotional growth, their mental well-being, you know, you have to be very careful about where those limits are that you're allowing your child access to. Now, of course, if you've always given your child access since the age of 4 to your cell phone, then it's going to be a little bit more challenging to set that limit at the age of 12. So we have to start very, very young, start at the beginning of establishing boundaries for what is appropriate, what kind of screen time is appropriate for a 2-year-old, for a 5-year-old, for an 8-year-old. You have to set appropriate limits for what kind of devices would you give access to your 2-year-old, 5-year-old, 8-year-old. You have to make rules about the use of computers at home for schoolwork. The other problem is schools are jumping on the bandwagon for overusing technology. Schools are not being responsible in their guidance to children of the use of technology. So schools need to be held accountable for this too.
Someone might be listening to this and saying, okay, Dr. Yip, on the one hand, you're saying that too much technology is not good because it gives you this sense of safety, which doesn't really exist. On the other hand, you're saying that some technology is okay. It could be used to monitor your kid a little bit. Some social media is okay. I mean, how do parents navigate this? It's very confusing.
Well, first of all, I said no social media is okay. There is no need for social media. And if we are to look at the research in the last 10 years, there is a very high correlation between anxiety, depression, cyberbullying, and social media, and decreasing social skills with social media. Let me rephrase that. If we are to look at the research in the last decade, there is a very high correlation between social media and the consequences of anxiety, depression, lack of social skills, cyberbullying, this all about me, 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 me mentality. There's a book called iGen, which greatly depicts what's happening with our current generation. So there is no place for social media, especially when the child isn't mentally or emotionally ready for this.
Okay, so let's get down to some nitty-gritty questions here. So if there was a chip that you can implant into your kids that you could to locate them, right? Just sort of like a GPS chip, like a tiny one you could put maybe on like toe or something like that. Would you use them?
You know, I think that's going down the slippery slope. Do I have a chip in my dog? Yes, I do. However, my dog cannot communicate. And for that reason, a chip seems to be realistic for a dog that goes missing. Now, for a child, are you using that chip in place of parenting? It's a very hard question. For me, I probably would not put a chip in my children because I know the dangers of going down that road. And if I put a chip in my child and my child goes missing, yes, and I might regret it if I didn't, if my child actually did go missing. However, what are the statistics about missing children these days? What? I think it's the lowest it's ever been, right? And then the question is, well, if I put a chip in my child, is that going to distract me from being present with my child and parenting my child? I mean, if I take my children to the playground, am I going to be busy talking with the other moms, which I wouldn't do anyways? However, would I be busy talking with the other moms instead of watching my children? Because, oh, there's a chip.
So what about baby monitors then? Do you have one of those in your room? We had one for many years.
Well, yes, I have a baby monitor in the room just so that I know when they wake up. Not because I'm watching the baby monitor, not because I'm staring at it and watching every movement and making sure that my children are breathing. No, I have it just so that I know when they have woken up, if I'm cooking in the kitchen or doing something else around the house. I don't need to be glued to their bedroom.
To go back to Archangel, if they did develop some sort of technology which you could use to monitor your children at all times and see things from their view, would you use it?
No, that is a big no. To me, that is no different than snooping into your child's life. And if I'm to think in reverse, if I was a child and my parents had such a device on me, I would probably be even more rebellious than I was growing up.
You'd end up walking away into the back of a truck driver's car, right?
Not necessarily. Maybe not. I don't know what I would do, except I would not be appreciative of not having the privacy and the sense to be my own person without someone constantly watching.
Last thing, what would you say then to the parents that we see all the time who are just really concerned about their kids being mugged or being robbed or being kidnapped. And they say, how dare you challenge my concern for my child's safety?
Well, I would ask the parent to look at the statistics. Although if this is a true fear, I know that no statistics will change a parent's mind. And I would encourage the parent to think more in their child's point of view rather than selfishly thinking based on their own fears.
Okay, that's all the time we have today. You've been listening to the Stressless Life podcast. Send questions, comments, or episode ideas to thestresslesslife@dryip.com. Check out our website at www.dryip.com/podcast. If you like what you've been hearing, please write us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Until next time, stay stressless.